Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Skewed and Reviewed Skewedcast. I am Gareth, creator of Skewed and Reviewed, and you can catch us on sknr.net as we cover all things movies, games, television, pop culture, travel, entertainment, and more. We also have our quarterly magazine, Skewed and Reviewed, the magazine. Latest issue will be out in April instead of the end of March because we will be doing panels and covering WonderCon, and we wanted to make sure to include that in this issue rather than wait till the June issue. You can go to panelcentral.com, keyword skewed, and see our game reviews and a network of newspapers. I believe it's 10 papers in 21 or 22 markets now. We also have Open Critic. We have Sci-Fi Radio. You can catch us on Facebook on BJ Shea's Geek Nation and so much more. And I'm joined as always with Justin, Michael, and Joey Z. And we are getting this in right before my wife and I are heading out on our vacation, doing a little bit of a spring trip, see the kids, going on a cruise. And of course, with that information in mind, Disney Cruise is coming up. And we had news today from Disney that the first step in their large expansion over the next 10 years for the Disneyland park has passed its first key vote in Anaheim. Now, for those who are not aware, this will blow your mind, gentlemen. Disney has apparently committed $60 billion to enhance their theme parks around the world, as well as for the cruise line and other travel things. Now, people say, well, geez, that's a lot of money. Look at the numbers. These places are always packed. The parks have, you know, even when they've had some box office disappointment, the parks are incredibly packed. Their plans for Disneyland are extremely ambitious. We talked a few weeks back about some of the concessions for parks and various things in the Anaheim area, but I've seen some of the proposed footprints, and these are massive expansions where they're taking advantage of some of the hotels, I believe, or areas that they recently were given access to. They're talking about lands themed after Avatar, Frozen, Zootopia, Tangled. They're talking about perhaps bringing back a people mover style system like they had to actually move people around the various new attractions. I know when we were there, they told us when we were last there, they told us that there's going to be a huge push to add more content to Disney Vacation Club members, because up until recently, the only thing we had was a wing at the California Grand Californian Resort. Now we have our own tower over at the Disneyland Hotel. We have our own lounge in Tomorrowland, and they said there's much more coming because, you know, right now Florida's got all the good stuff. So let's go right down the line. We'll start with you, Justin. What do you think about all the planned Disney expansions, and do you think it's what you like to see come?
No, I think it makes sense. I mean, I think Disney's kind of in a period where they're going to start investing a lot more. I mean, I think not to bring up a negative topic, but it's hard to avoid talking about how the pandemic, affected basically the entire world. And we are on the tail end of that. I mean, obviously it's still around, but, we've talked for a while now, I'd say a good year or so, where it's felt normal, I guess. It's felt normal around, people kind of, that the activities around the parks is more normal. So I think now is the time for a lot of the theme park companies that run all the theme parks, that they're going to start investing more in, expanding them. Obviously, the Disney parks have always been extremely popular, especially in the last several years. I've heard, sold out, packed. So I think they're kind of seeing where the interest is and where the investments are going to be. And there's all sorts of properties they have that they've acquired over time, different franchises that don't really have a physical representation in a lot of their parks, that I think they have a huge opportunity to get those represented and get people back into the parks to see new things. So I definitely think it's something that's coming. It's something that's probably a good idea, and it's probably going to be pretty successful for them.
And Michael, your take, please.
Yeah, and that's not to say they haven't been investing even now. I mean, we've been, the Downtown Disney, but over the course of, a couple times a year, and I'm always amazed at the construction that's going on. They've got some really fancy restaurants going into Downtown Disney that they're in the process of putting up, in addition to what's already there. Obviously, the hotels have gotten a huge makeover over the several years, particularly the Disneyland Hotel. That one is almost looking brand new, at least from the outside. I think with the one problem I think with Disneyland is, which has always been the problem with Disneyland, is space, right? They're continuing to come up with ways, creative ways to expand on that footprint. But the reality is that footprint's always been a little small. I mean, particularly when you compare it to Florida and Disney World. Obviously, I think at the time, people probably thought Walt was a little crazy for buying up all that land in Florida. And what we've seen now is they've really been able to expand in leaps and bounds out there. And I think Disneyland could benefit from that. Again, there's only so much they can do. So it's all about creatively spacing things around, taking down some attractions that are older or no longer something that draws the crowds, and then building onto that and that sort of thing. So obviously, some of the franchise stuff, I know there's some Tron stuff out at Disney World. I'd love to see Disneyland get some of that specifically. But we've also talked about other franchises, of course, Avatar being huge. Frozen, which has been a monumental success for them from an animated perspective. So all in all, I think there's a lot of that money sounds like a big number. And frankly, it is a big number to a lot of us. But when you take into account all the renovations that can go in with that, all the locations, all the different between the entertainment, between the cruises, between the parks, between the hotels, that's a lot of investment that they can do. And again, I think they've done, all things considered, I think Disneyland's done, well, Disney in general has done a really good job at kind of keeping things up. Like I've never been to Disneyland where it felt like things were just not up to par with what we would expect from a Disney resort, unlike other amusement parks that you might go to. So they always are investing. I think the bigger the monetary investment they can, though, they continue to modernize things, make things a little bit better, and then continuing to kind of move forward into the decades from now, because again, this is not something that is going to be spent over the course of a year or two. This is going to be spent over the course of several years, over many different venues, just bringing up and continuing to keep the park up. So I think in general, I think it's definitely a positive trend and something that I think Disney has done very well up to now.
And Joey Z, your take, please.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think this is a huge win for Disney fans everywhere. No surprise it passes on a vote of 5-1. I mean, $1.9 billion over at least 10 years is a huge investment from Disney, but it shows the faith they have in their product and their faith they have to build that back up more and reinvent it and re-innovate it a little bit to make sure that it stays fresh. Because, like everyone who goes to a theme park, it's fun to go the first time, but the fourth and fifth time it can get a little old. So seeing things like Frozen, Zootopia, and Peter Pan, Tron, and many other franchises that they have come together there, rebuild, do a little bit more for the fans is great. I did see a couple of interesting things that the people around the area of Anaheim were kind of talking about when it comes to, the zoning restrictions and the hotels and the people that live in the area. What's it going to look like for foot traffic? Because obviously they're going to see a huge, boom of people coming there. And Disney seems to have a pretty good lock on it. They've done a pretty good job of giving out a game plan of their passes and how people can get in and out of the park, whether they're in one of their hotels or in a surrounding hotel. Wages for their workers, they do look to hopefully increase it for the people that they hire. They have new hires. Old hires obviously got grandfathered in and still make a good amount of money, but there is always that question of the big corporation comes in and kind of doesn't pay their employees enough and makes a bunch of money. But I think Disney's done a pretty good job being fairly transparent about what they're going to offer to the city as well as people around it. And for fans, obviously you're going to get what you want, which is new, fun Disney products, which in places to go. So, yeah, I think it's a good win.
And here's some things that people aren't paying attention to. They already have the big Avengers expansion going on. When we had the D23 Expo two shows ago now, they had told us that there was a big AAA attraction that was planned. Spider-Man was never intended to be the only attraction in that area. They rethemed the Tower of Terror to Guardians of the Galaxy, but there is supposed to be a brand new state-of-the-art, you know, literally what Rise of the Resistance was for rides, Avengers-style thing going in there. And, you know, you look over the money and you're like, okay, we know they have one more boat planned after the currently under the construction Treasure. What else are they doing for the theme, for the cruise line? That is a very interesting thing. And you look at some of these things that they're doing, and this is just so creative. There's also this whole little gray area in Southern Cal, as I understand it. There's the area around the stadium where the Angels play. And I believe that's in play, that that can either be acquired by Disney or Disney has the rights to rent it. Something like that. There was some talk that perhaps that could be where an expansion goes, that, you know, then they would have to figure out how do we transport people. Because a lot of people forget years and years ago when Knott's Berry Farm was looking to sell, they wanted to buy it because they had a longstanding acquaintance with Walter and Cordelia Knott's. And there was concern that, oh, they didn't want to make wholesale changes to the park. They sold it to Cedar Fair, who ended up making far more changes than Disney wanted to. But, you know, I was reading some of the stuff that they're planning, and this is crazy. Like, they're going to spend $40 million to buy streets from the city of Anaheim. And they're not going to increase their 490-acre footprint, but it will allow them to build on areas that they already own. And so, like, one of the things that I heard is that they would take down the massive 50-acre parking lot, and that could become new attractions and everything. And then a new multi-story parking structure would be built in a different area and that sort of thing. So, you know, they're being creative. People, all, you know, the goal is to build things like Galaxy's Edge. They built Galaxy's Edge without expanding the park because they essentially cleared out a big back area that was trees and stables and things like that, and they moved those off-site. And so there is some creativeness to it. It's going to be very interesting to see what they come up with. And, of course, they're doing this here, but they're also doing stuff in Florida. You know, what was it? Hong Kong just had the big Frozen expansion. You know, Shanghai is getting the Zootopia thing, which I actually believe is already open. You know that Tokyo is going to be getting some stuff. So this will be very, very interesting because I think one thing has become abundantly clear over the years, no matter what, the Disney parks continue to draw. And this adds a big underlining, as if it wasn't already massive enough. The D23, formerly the D23 Expo, now known as the D23, the Ultimate Fan Event, August 9th, 10th, 11th in Anaheim. Tickets will be on sale starting March 26th. And, of course, as you know, this is everything. Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, National Geographic, all the stuff comes out. They have the big showcase of the stars, and this is what we've got coming for movies. They've got, you know, we've seen stuff from The Simpsons and Bob's Burgers and just all the way down the line. And, of course, they have a big showcase usually on the final day of what's coming to the theme parks. And, yeah, it's a star-studded event, and I think there's going to be a lot more coming. So that is just some really exciting news. So, gentlemen, big fans of the Alien film franchise. We're very much looking forward to the upcoming Alien Romulus, and we have heard all kinds of interesting news this week. First off, we've heard that a trailer is currently in the testing phase and may drop sooner than the anticipated Alien Day or CinemaCon. Next month, there have reportedly been test screenings who have, if the reports are to be believed, were ecstatic and through the roof. So lots of Alien stuff. Alien Day coming 4/26. We have CinemaCon coming up in early April, and I would assume that Disney may make a showing of it at their showcase, although traditionally they don't always incorporate R-rated films into their showcase at CinemaCon. We'll start at the other end. Joey Z, what do you make of all this news?
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about this movie when we speculated along what was going to come out with it and stuff, and, you know, I'm still excited for it. I mean, I love the Alien franchise. Give me whatever you want. Like, I talked about how Prometheus was one of a movie I enjoyed, despite, you know, the backlash that it got from the audience. I think a lot of people in this very podcast still liked it. But interesting to see that we're going to get it released so early. I think the 16th of August, you said, or this
July,
year?
July, I thought, is when it was due.
Oh, wow. Even sooner. I mean, I'm waiting for a trailer. Have we seen a trailer yet?
Not yet. What we've been told that a trailer is currently being cut and edited right now and could debut. A lot of people thought next month we'd see it at CinemaCon and then it would get released to the public on Alien Day, which is April 26th. As of today, I'm hearing that could be even sooner, as in this month, as in any time.
Well, look, it's great to hear that the pre-screenings are going well already. I think that you're going to, you know, probably get a little bit more of a generous audience in those because, you know, you're seeing aliens and, you know, you haven't seen in a while. And so, you know, they're going to be like, hey, everyone's loving it so far. But once I see the trailer, I'm sure I'm going to be on that same train already anyways, because, you know, this can really go into a bunch of different areas with Alien. I mean, I've heard a lot of potential, maybe characters don't survive, there's a twist. I've heard that we can, you know, focus on different parts of the story that haven't necessarily been explored, or, you know, so I'm kind of in the dark here about it, but I would say overall I'm excited, and we'll see if anyone ends up surviving. I mean, not many characters in the Alien franchise survive anyways, but, you know, I guess we'll end up to find it out.
Yeah, good points. Michael, what's your take?
No, I'm excited about this, too, and one point that I'd like to make strongly is I really have enjoyed all of the Alien movies, except Resurrection. It was probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen, period, in any franchise. So I just pretend that one doesn't exist. But as far as the other ones, Prometheus and, you know, Covenant and all those other ones, I've been generally entertained. And again, even the Alien versus Predator movies, while not well done, they still weren't Resurrection. But, you know, generally speaking, I've been entertained. What always fascinates me about the Alien franchise in general, and Predator along the same lines, is you would think it'd be a really easy film to make well, and sometimes they really struggle. So the fact that we're getting some positive buzz out of the screenings, obviously I'm excited for the preview. As long as it's not Resurrection, I'll be happy with it. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what's going to come from this.
And Justin, your take, please.
Well, you know me, I'm big on the Alien franchise. Used to run a website that was basically just dedicated to the Alien and Predator franchises.
But
so.
Justin, you didn't like Resurrection either, right?
No, I don't really like Resurrection very much. I guess I will watch it, you know, if I'm doing a marathon. You know, it's not a good movie, but if I'm doing a marathon of the Alien movies and the Alien vs. Predator movies and everything, it is one that I will still watch. But yeah, there's not much to like about Alien Resurrection.
I wanted to mention really quick, I just started streaming it the other day, and I got, about 15-20 minutes in, and I'm like, yeah, I can't do this to myself again.
Yeah, I think there could have been a good movie there. I mean, I could do a whole podcast on that. I mean, there's so many blunders between Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection. At least with Alien 3, I think it was kind of salvaged just through the competent filmmaking of David Fincher. But, I mean, I digress. Anyway, so with Alien Romulus, I think it's really positive news that there's good test screening. I mean, I think Joey Z mentioned, I mean, that's not always a bellwether as to whether the movie's going to be great or not, but you definitely want to hear that the test screenings are positive rather than negative. I mean, you do hear that from time to time, leaks about, you know, a movie has test screenings that were negative, then they're going back and they're doing, you know, more research or whatever. The other good sign about it too, is I was just looking at the page for it. So it is actually coming out in August. So the middle of August, August 16th. But one note that just caught my eye was that it was originally supposed to release only on Hulu, but they later changed it to have a theatrical release, which is also a good sign. It's at least a sign of confidence in the project. to me, you know, what I'm sort of expecting, or hoping for at least, is, you know, with Fede Alvarez, who is directing this film, to me, you know, he's very much a very visceral horror filmmaker. So what I'm sort of expecting and what I'm hoping for, and with all these different signs of confidence between test screenings and the studio, I think I kind of see what the approach is. And to me, what it reminds me of is the approach of some other popular franchises that have kind of gone back to basics, is kind of the way I would put it. So the new Predator movie that came out recently, Prey, as well as the reboot of the reboot / sequel of the Halloween movies, I think what kind of worked for them as an approach is really kind of identifying the very core traits of those franchises that really work, and then focusing exclusively on those, not trying to do something new, not really trying to do something super unique. Obviously Prey, what was unique about it was setting it, you know, in a new setting. But if you kind of break down the movie, it was very much a very Predator movie. Like, they identified what worked about the original movie, and they kind of adapted it to a new setting. And that's sort of, you know, what I'm kind of expecting from this film. It's set between Alien and Aliens. Really has a very basic synopsis, or a very basic premise that's listed, which is just a group of young people on a distant world find themselves in confrontation with basically the aliens. So, while I do really enjoy Prometheus and Alien Covenant and all of the lore and kind of, you know, kind of interesting philosophy that's like in those films, I definitely welcome something that would be kind of a return to basics, a return to form, which is kind of what I'm expecting from this film. So hopefully we get to see a trailer soon. I'm expecting that. To me, it makes sense, release a trailer, you know, on a weekend that's doesn't have a lot of news. I mean, this weekend would be a great one for that. And then that way you kind of have something to talk about at Alien Day. Maybe you can, you know, get the cast up, you know, on stage and, like, you know, ask them questions or something. And maybe they show some art or, you know, some behind the scenes stuff. Who knows? But that's what kind of makes sense to me. Release a trailer sometime soon that gives us something to talk about.
Yeah, it does make you wonder. And of course, my luck, they probably will release it this weekend as I'm on the boat and not able to. I'll pull into port and I could just see watching the trailer over breakfast on a Disney cruise. That would be, you know, hey, I could say, hey, I'm watching a company product here. So, you know, that's the important thing. So let's look at some other movie news that has zipped off today. And news came down that the Batman Part 2 is being delayed. It is being moved all the way from October of next year to October of 2026. And they're blaming the strikes on it, but it was announced almost 2 years ago. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens. Are you shocked that they delayed it that far out? So we'll start with you, Justin.
I guess it is a little surprising. I guess what that tells me is that they're really not that far in the writing process for it. If it got delayed that far and they're attributing it to the strikes, to me that says that they're really still kind of hammering out what this, even the script, is going to be, or what it's going to be about. So I guess it doesn't surprise me all that much. I mean, that's a pretty far delay, I suppose. And I guess it does make you wonder, because I really enjoyed the reboot Batman film, but that came out in 2022. You're talking 2026. That's 4 years later. That is a pretty big gap between those films. But, you know, you never know. I mean, I do think it did generate enough buzz that I think even by 2026, I think people would still welcome a sequel.
And Michael, your take, please.
I'm going to go in a negative route and say that this may not happen at all. What sometimes this happens, and to Justin's point, is it could be they're not very far in the writing process. They might be. The problem with when you push something out that far, to Justin's point, is, yeah, it'll be 4 years. And I liked, to my surprise, I liked The Batman. I wasn't going into that movie expecting to. I kind of have the same feeling I have about it as with the Joker, is I still kind of think those movies were best as standalone movies and not really as part of trilogies or sequels. So I am a little concerned about that. The other thing that that makes me worry is we've talked about superhero fatigue now for years. I think we're starting to see some of that with a lot of the Marvel movies. Again, I've liked them. I even liked the Marvels. I thought that was actually a pretty entertaining movie, but it didn't do well at the box office. I think when you start talking about pushing out something like the Batman that far, you start to really wonder what the audience is going to be at that point. And again, we talk delays, and we also see cancellations where they'll say it's delayed, and then all of a sudden the director is busy, or Pattinson is doing something else. You start seeing people dropping off the scripts or dropping off the credits because they're just not available or they have other things going on. So yeah, much like what we see games get delayed for this long, that to me always is kind of an indicator that maybe something's not quite working. And then at the end of the day is what are those schedules going to be like when they do get to that point? So yeah, I mean, you know, you guys can tell me I'm wrong in 2 years when this comes out, but the reality is I don't have a lot of high hopes that we'll see this. And if we do, I kind of wonder what the director / cast will be like at that point, because again, a lot of these folks are kind of, you know, lining up. You know, it's one thing I can say you can blame the writer's strike on this, and sure, sets them back. But again, you're talking about a pretty significant delay in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. And Joey Z, what do you have for us?
Yeah, I agree with what Michael said and a little bit of what Justin said as well. I'm kind of confused on where the year delay is coming from, because I can understand blaming the strike. But from what I can tell and the information I can find online, all we really have is Matt Reeves and Patterson returning that we know, and everything else has been kept in the dark. And when you're delaying something an additional year, when you're more than a year out already, that sounds like you don't have a script or a plan. It just sounds like you know you have to make a movie at some point, and we see you in 2 or 3 years. So this is definitely not the news that you want to hear as a Batman fan, but I will say I am always happier to hear that something does get delayed as opposed to gets pushed out, not finalized, not, you know, God forbid we have another, you know, movie that gets cut, like, what was it, Batgirl, that didn't even see the light of day. So I do hope that this isn't, like Michael was alluding to, might not, you know, be the end of the series itself with Patterson, because I did like the movie as well. But hopefully we do get, some better news coming next year where they're like, hey, you know, we've got everyone signed on and we have a good script to go, and the delay really was just because we couldn't get, you know, everyone finalized and the actors lined up. But there's not a lot of information out there, and when that happens, that's usually not a good thing for a movie. But, you know, here's to hoping, because I would love to see another one.
So here's my take on this. We have Marvel, who have a plan and stick to it, and recently they've had a couple of disappointments, so they have made some adjustments, and I mean, some of them have been kind of forced on them with the Jonathan Majors thing and so on and so forth, but for the most part, they're sticking with their plans. You hear the upcoming Captain America movie, they've maybe changed around the ending, so the bad guy is a different individual, but the bottom line, they have a plan. DC has long been known for, this is our plan, this is our plan, oh, this movie bombed, let's go back and reset. And they brought in Safran and James Gunn to solve that problem and to have a expanded DC universe. Well, they've tried that before, it didn't work, but you have some, you know, good people in place. Now, here's the situation. Shazam, Fury of the Gods, The Flash, both of them did not do well. Justice League Warlord Animated, okay. Blue Beetle didn't do well. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom didn't do great, but did better than the others. So you look at the lineup. You have Joker, Foil et Dieu, due in October. And this is not, they've been very clear, this is not part of the James Gunn universe. So all eyes turn to James Gunn's film. It's filming right now. Superman Legacy, due out July of next year. So obviously, this is going to be a real big push next year. We were supposed to have the Batman. Now, I find it odd that Superman was supposed to be out kicking off the big new DC, although some say the Blue Beetle technically was the kickoff, but we'll see. In July, Batman was supposed to follow it, which is not considered part of this universe. It's been kicked off another year. So then you have an animated version of Watchmen still on the schedule. You have a Justice League Crisis of Infinite Earths, feature-length adaptation in the works, and obviously voice animated, that sort of thing. There's various animated shows. And then James Gunn recently said, oh, yeah, we're going to be filming season two of The Peacemaker this summer, and it's going to essentially follow the events of Superman. And then, oh, yeah, let's not forget, now this is where it gets really interesting, gentlemen, the Penguin TV show is still filming and is still going on, which is supposed to set up the upcoming Batman film. So, you know, you can imagine me sitting here going, all right, because the Penguin is still scheduled for HBO Max this year, as is Creature Commandos, as is Waller. And it's like, all right, so, you know, you're sitting here going, okay. And then while we're looking over these things, not counting the CW shows, you're supposed to have an Arkham Asylum spinoff going to Max, a Gotham City Police Department spinoff going to Max, a Green Lantern series going to Max, Booster Gold going to Max. Am I the only one here that thinks that if a couple of these projects don't pan out, that a lot of these are going to get scrapped and moved to the other side? Yeah. I think, Michael, I think you can agree with me on this one. I think Comic-Con's going to be very clear as to what exactly their plans are, because it's no secret they're filming Superman right now. I would be shocked if they don't make some kind of, you know, reveal or something at Comic-Con, because they definitely need some hype. And whether or not Marvel is going to be on stage there, or they're going to hold out to the D23 Expo, again, I think you got to have some hype. So it's going to be very, very interesting. Last thing on superheroes, we did get news this morning that the next Venom movie, which is called Venom the Last Dance, will be coming out on October 25th instead of November 8th. So this is very interesting news. So hopefully this will be good. Now, gentlemen, the last thing that I wanted to discuss tonight is news coming out about the Scream franchise. Now, we had a lot of news about Jenna Ortega and her castmate leaving the production. One was removed over her political comments online. The Jenna Ortega left saying that she had schedule conflicts. And, of course, the director left. Well, now we have been told that the studio has basically taken that freed up money. They brought Neve Campbell back into the fold, and best of all for fans, that they are going right back to the beginning, in that the series creator is going to be doing the directing. So very interesting. Kevin Williamson is going to be directing. Neve Campbell is back. The writer from the last two recent films is going to be taking over, and will be interesting to see what they do. So does anybody want to make a comment over their thoughts on Scream 7? And is Neve being brought back to basically being kicked off so they can go on a completely fresh direction going forward?
Yeah, she's getting killed for sure.
Yeah, you ask for more money and... there you go. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Joey Z, you have anything on that one?
Yeah, you know, horror movies can do no wrong. It doesn't matter who you fire or what happens, especially with the Scream franchise. They always seem to make money. And I can't say that I'm surprised to see them return to a little bit of the origin of it, if you will. It's going to grab the audience. It's going to allow them creative direction. And like Michael said, you can kill him off if you're unhappy anyways. So, you know, it'll be good. And I'm sure people will be happy to see it back in the theaters.
And Justin, do you have a take on that?
No, I think I think the Michael and Joey covered it. I'm not, I like horror, but I'll be completely honest. I haven't really delved super deep in the Scream franchise. I've seen one or two of them, and so I can't comment too much on it. But I do always like to see that, you know, older involvement is back and kind of going back to basics.
I really enjoy them. The biggest problem, though, was in Scream 5, I figured out who the killer was. It took me about 5 minutes. And then in the last one, I figured out the killers as well. So it was pretty quick. It took me about, I think 15 to 20 minutes last time. And so, you know, but hey, I still enjoyed it. That's part of the fun is that, you know, I think for me, though, what was really funny is the first film, they were so good about weaving it around where you're like, it's got to be this person. Oh, my goodness, it wasn't. And then they kind of set that mold of multiple killers, and it's not who you expect. And I think the beauty of it is after four films, I kind of got into that mode of knowing the twists and turns that they like to pull, and that helped me zero in on it and stuff. And then I would see little things like, the killer knocked that one out, but killed everyone else, so that one's who they're working with and that sort of stuff. So, you know, interesting stuff. I think it'll be fun, though, and like you said, it'll make money, and people will be lining up for more. So we will see, and it'll be also interesting to see how the box office continues to do. The Dune 2 is doing really well. Kung Fu Panda did respectably. We have Ghostbusters the Frozen Empire coming out. We got Godzilla Kong coming out soon, so it'll be interesting to see if people start returning to the big events. We've got the conventions coming up. We got WonderCon coming up very soon, Phoenix Fan Fusion, San Diego Comic-Con, D23 Expo. That'll bring the talent back on stage again, really hype things up. So a lot of great stuff. And by the way, guys, you mentioned horror. We did get the latest trailer for the first Omen the other day, and we've got that up on the site. So if you really want to get a look at all kinds of creepy stuff, check that trailer out. So, and that is going to do it for us this week. Everybody have a very safe time. We will talk to you as soon as we get back. And until then, take care and be well.